Privilege to have with us today Honorable Padma Shri Dr. Anil Rajvamshi, Director of NIMCAR Agricultural Research Institute, and today he's going to speak on ethics of work, how to be a good citizen. So at the outset, I invite Honorable Vice Chancellor Dr. Sushma Kulkarni to kindly felicitate Padma Shri Dr. Anil Rajvamshi, sir.
I also write a regular column in Sakal, and every Sunday in Saptarang, my articles come. Not every Sunday, every 15 days, every alternate Sundays. So some of you who read Marathi, I will appreciate you can read that, because the focus is mostly on what I'm going to talk today about, and also on how to improve the education of children and youngsters like you. So when Dr. Amit invited me, I immediately agreed, because I enjoyed talking to youngsters like you. I do not know whether you will enjoy hearing me, because I am a very hard taskmaster, but I think since you have come to this very prestigious institute and you want to be the managers for the future of this country. In fact, you are the real builders of this country, because you are the brick and mortar people. We talk about country, but you will build the country. So I hope you can be a really a great future for this country, because you are young. We are all old, at least I am old. And so the future of the country is with young people like you. Now, you learn everything in your colleges, all the educational material, everything. But I don't know whether anybody talks to you about how to be a good citizen and how to do work ethically. Somehow this is not a part of curriculum. And I also feel that it should not be a part of curriculum, because again it will become like a test, passing an exam. So this is a course I took and I passed the exam. What is required is that this should be continuous process. So every course should have a program on ethics, what you can do, how you can be ethical in your life. And so this is what we will discuss today. I press this here. So you are taught subjects, pass exams right from childhood. In fact, think about your life. All the life is nothing else but from one exam to another, starting from early childhood. There is a fear that is put in your heart. If you will not do well in your exams, you will not do well in life. So you start from this process. Your parents, your peers, everybody pushes you for that. There are, not only are you studying in your schools and colleges, but you are taking extra tuition, etc. The whole thing is about passing exam. Nobody tells you, what is this subject for? Why you are doing this? What would it be? I teach in IITs, and you know, these young IITians who got into JEE. For example, when I got into JEE, you know, when I did my IIT in 1967, my JEE was 29. And there was no coaching classes, there were no such big centers. I did my own study. In those times, the focus was more on the knowledge rather than the technology, on how fast you can answer the questions in the paper. So the whole purpose of starting from childhood to become an engineer in IIT, then you go to Kota and other schools, and when you get into all that and finally come to IIT, I don't think you have any energy left to study. I talk to a lot of IIT students and they are like zombies. They just come from passing their thing that they have achieved, their whole goal, and they hardly do anything. And this is the biggest tragedy, because you have come to some of the most prestigious institutions like here. So use that knowledge, use that time to learn and to become a good citizen. And that is what is never taught, and we are going to see what can be done. Truthfulness and how to become a good citizen. To my mind, these are the most important quality in any human being. You see, when I hire people in my organization, naturally a lot of these people do not know what they are getting into it. I don't expect it. But if you have a good attitude, a good aptitude, ability to work diligently and honestly, that's the most important thing. Because you can learn everything. Nobody is born learning from birth. You learn. And if you have a good attitude and honesty, then you can learn anything in the world. I have changed people's lives. I myself am a mechanical engineer, but I do a lot of work in agriculture, because there's a desire to learn, desire to understand what is happening, desire to know what is nature. And when you have that thing, and that comes with honesty, then it really starts helping you in doing your work. Ethics of work means doing work honestly and diligently. Look inwardly to decide about honesty. Nobody is going to teach you. You have to look internally. What is you feel is honest? What is you feel is the right thing to do? A lot of people, they go into join the companies, they have the jobs, and they're all the time criticizing, not feeling happy, because they never work honestly on what they have been told to do. You see, if there is something wrong with the job, you can only find out when you do the work honestly. So whatever you have been assigned, if you do it honestly and diligently, you can find out whether this is really worthwhile, what are the problems, and then you can start looking at solving it, rather than complaining all the time. And that is where the problem lies. So most of the times, and I don't know how many of you have worked, people try to cut corners, they hardly spend any time on their job, they are doing something else, social programming, whatever it is. And that is where the dishonesty thing comes. Mistakes will happen, but with honesty and good intentions, they can be rectified. All organizations look for honest and diligent workers. In fact, when you join, you yourself will see that people, if you are honest, very soon the management starts looking at you from a different perspective. Because honesty is the most important thing in any organization or in anything. Unethical behavior creates problems for both self and the organization or the system. Unethical behavior starts when you tell lies. It starts from childhood. Look back at your own life. When you did something wrong, somebody beat you up. Either in the school, naturally nowadays corporal punishment is out, but your parents beat you up, etc. So the first thing the child does, he or she stops telling the truth, because they know they'll be beaten up. And that is the first step in the unethical behavior that we inculcate in our society, in our children, in our young people. And that is what the biggest tragedy is. You have all gone to schools. A lot of times it happens that when you ask some tough questions, the teacher becomes very angry. That also happens at colleges. But without asking tough questions, without asking honest questions, how will you know the answer? How will you know the things, what the way they behave, etc.? So questioning is the most important thing for any human being. And when we stop questioning, which our society makes us, not to ask questions, we kill the curiosity, we kill the inventiveness, and that is why Indians are very good in making number games, but no curiosity. We are not the greatest innovators. Innovators come from somewhere else. Now slowly the desire and the spark is coming up with the startups and etc. But innovation comes when you start questions, when you ask questions. So that is the most important thing. Frustration of parents taken out on children, insecurity to also the children tell a lot of lies. All of you, you know your children, you try to impress your peers, you try to impress your other people, how great you are, etc. And this is how the process starts. And lying not checked early becomes habitual. And this is the most important thing. So if you are all young, you will all become parents, etc. So you have to teach your children to ask, tell them to ask questions, be curious, and explain properly what is what, and what is good and what is bad. Greed fuels unethical behavior. When you have the greed, that is the first step in unethical behavior. You want more and more. And you cannot get more and more by the regular means, so you become unethical. The whole society that you see right now, the corruption, etc., comes from greed. It permeates in every part of society. It permeates in you. You want, just ask for yourself. You wear one shirt and one pant. Why do you want to have 25, 40 shirts and 100 pants? Just the greed. Think about, you see, when you start looking at things with tremendous honesty, with tremendous insight, then you realize, what is the purpose of this? I'm not saying that you should go in pateve clothes, but you can have good clothes, decent clothes, but why so many clothes? Why so many cars? All these things come because of greed. And when the greed comes, the insecurity comes. And insecurity, in fact, a lot of times the shopping is done because of insecurity. If you go and do shopping in the mall, have you ever thought, do I really need it? Or is it just for the sake, because I have the money, let me splurge on it? So these are the things which one has to think about very deeply. And these are all connected for making you an ethical and an honest person. Greed can be reduced by practicing spirituality. This is something which I have practiced in my own life. Though I am a mechanical engineer, but I write extensively on spirituality. I have 2-3 books. I used to have around 125 articles on speaking tree in Times of India. And in fact, now the articles that I write also in Sakar also focus on this. How we can become better human beings by practicing spirituality. Spirituality is nothing else but looking deeper inside. It is not a religion, first of all. This, we have this tremendous, ghante wale religion. Lot of times our problems arise because we are becoming more and more hardcore religion people. You don't need to do that. In fact, the greatest spiritual and the greatest philosophical thought of mankind has come from India. How many of you have read India's ancient scriptures? Raise your hands. Gita, Patanjali Yoga, Mahabharata. Not in the comic books. The real. So this is the biggest problem. We are all Indians. And we don't even know our ancient spiritual history and great books. And then we criticize India, that's why we run away from here, because we find that everything is bad. I spent 7 or close to 8 years in America. In those times when the whole world was going to America, I came back. And that too also in a place like Fulton, which was at that time was so like a backward region in 81, that to make a long distance phone call, I would hop on the bus, come to Pune and make phone calls. There was a janoon, and more than the janoon came because I was attached to the story of India. Because I felt that whatever I have learned in America, I should try to see if I can help develop this country. Because this is a very ancient country. This is a very great country. After all, the country which has produced some of the greatest philosophical thought, Buddhism, Jainism, Sikhism, and whole hordes of in between, cannot be a bad country. And ultimately, ending up with Gandhiji. Our genetic material is very good. What we have become are really horrible people with focus on hawas, focus on greed, focus on too much money, as if this is the only thing in life. So if we go back to our roots, look at the great thoughts that came from in this country, and I think you will become a better human being. You will learn that how great things were. And ask yourself a question, why they were so great in those times and not now. And you are the ones who are the future of this country to start thinking that how you can make, you can work on those great thoughts and take it forward. Spirituality therefore gives us wisdom and helps us differentiate between important and not so important. It really gives you a perspective in life. That what is, and then when you have this perspective, then you use your energies to go for important things and not for the unimportant, and which most of the times you do. Do this exercise for the next 15 days, right from morning till night when you sleep. What actually do you do? How much time you spend on your social media? How much time you do on chit-chatting, sending SMS? You have become, I'm sorry to say that, but the youngsters have become like animals, you react. Human beings have a huge brain. We have been given this brain for contemplation, reflection, thinking. Animals don't do that, animals react. But in your social media, you do the same thing what animals do. You send an SMS and the answer does not come in 5 milliseconds, you become very jittery. You all the time are looking at who liked it, who didn't like it, and nothing else. And then all your information comes from WhatsApp. So this is a very strange thinking that you are creating. And when you continuously keep on doing that, you stop thinking. So when you don't think, then how can you make very big, very important decisions? Because you only react. So please shut off your mobile phones for once a week. Read, even do Marawari, because that is interaction. And you will find that there is something very different than what you are used to. And that is what you should be looking at. Sustained spirituality gives us happiness. And this is the most important thing. I have written a book, The Spirituality Plus Technology, because there is a mechanical engineer. There is a lot of energy required, a lot of technology required. In fact, the way I am talking to you, you are all part of that. Technology touches every part of our life. But technology without the wisdom or spirituality is of no use. And so that is why it is very necessary that spirituality and technology, they both work for happiness and sustainability. And if you want, you can please go in the net. My books are available on the Amazon. They are also available free on the net. You can read them. Unfortunately, large-scale greed influenced by US since the focus was bottom line. Do you know what bottom line is? You're all going to be managers. You don't know what bottom line is?
Revenue.
In the director's report,
results.
When you write the report, the last line is how much money per share you will get. That is the bottom line. Because the whole basis of running a company is how to help the shareholders. And that is where the bottom line came. So everything was based upon bottom line. And America became very powerful in 1930s and 40s. Massive companies. And then came this big tamasha in the Harvard Business School. We started telling people that you should have a rate of return in 3 months, and everybody in the world followed that. And that was the start of the greed process. I can, you know, this is not a time, I can give you a lot of examples of how seeped into America and different presidents, how they helped. But this is how it started, and it was followed by everybody in the world. Because when you attack the basic instinct, human beings are same, and people are attracted to that. The junk food, the obesity. You know, obesity was not there in India, but now more and more people are becoming fat, etc., because of the junk food, etc. And so all these things in this modern world where we are interconnected, we learn these wrong things very fast. We don't learn about the good things of America and Europe, but we only learn about the wrong things. But anyway, so that is how it came. It affected financial markets. Some of you may be looking at financial markets. Richer become richer, and the poor have become poorer. In fact, the same thing is happening in India. We have some of the biggest billionaires in the world in India, and look at the ratio of the rich and the poor. In fact, there was some data which said that I think 2 or 3% of the rich in this country have 90% of the wealth, or something like that. You know, something enormous and very obscene. And this has also led to unsustainable lifestyle and environmental degradation, because the people who have money, they are the ones who control the mass media. They are the ones who control what you get, what you see, and they all the time focus on their one very unethical, very unsustainable and obscene lifestyle. And this is what people want to emulate. How many of you come from rural India? But you are running away from rural India. In the 1990s, the fastest selling item was this Fair and Lovely cream in rural Maharashtra. So I asked some of our laborers, I said, why do you want to buy this? What is this? So they said that we have seen the photo of that famous actress, and this is what how we should like to look. So the power of the mass media is so much. They don't know what is in that cream, they don't know how harmful it is, but the power of the mass media is tremendous. And some of you, when you are going to be managers, you will be part of that. So it is in our interest, in our power, to change this or reduce this hawas so that we can create a sustainable society. There are a large number of examples of this corrupt and very third-rate system. Nirav Modi, Mallya, ICICI Bank, Kochar. A lot of you will be one day big powerhouses in the corporate sector. Think about it. How this greed starts. Naturally, politicians are a class apart. They are the greediest among all of them. And I'll not name, I know a lot of politicians. And in my short life, I had a great distinction of meeting almost a lot of prime ministers and everything. And I just can't believe. My father went to jail with Gandhiji. He was for 2.5 years in jail. He was in the second string of leadership before, below Nehru, Rafi Ahmed Kidwai, Patel. And I used to meet a lot of his friends who were really the builders of this country, who helped giving us independence and etc. And I used to always ask them that, you know, look from what heights, from Gandhiji and etc., and where have we brought our country to? The corruption, the greed, etc. And I still don't have an answer. But you, as the future of this country, think about these things. I do not know how many of you really think about the country. Except the only thing that you think of is the pay packets. Where will you get the next job? How will you go abroad? Am I right? Do you ever discuss among yourselves where the country is going? What can you do? All the time you expect, but you never think about how you can contribute. Because you are the young people, you are the future of this country. So think about these things. Greed can be tempered by inculcating janoon or passion. When you have that janoon and passion, then all the pinpricks go away. When I look back, at the time when I came back, you know, at this God-forsaken place called Fulton, I think if I was intelligent enough, I would have never come back. It is a janoon, that passion, that madness, that makes you jump and then you find out where have you come. And if that happens, then you make different path. You do things which nobody did before. I was the first IITian to come to rural India. I was, those e-rickshaws, e-rickshaws? They were invented by me and my group. We did this work in 1990. All the electric vehicles in the country, 85% are the e-rickshaws. They have gone in a way which I never wanted, but then that is how the technology evolves. But working in this rural area, looking at the problems that existed around the mobility, the burning of sugarcane leaves, the no electricity, all this made us work on the areas where we can make a difference. We didn't have the resources, we still don't have the resources, but if you have the janoon and the passion, then you start working on things and then all the other pinpricks go away. There should be no electricity. I study in the lantern after having spent 8 years in the most developed country in the world and coming to Fulton and working on lantern. So these are the things that start making you think about what can be done and what is possible. It also gives peace and happiness. So develop the janoon. Janoon is the most important thing. If you keep on asking, where will you get more money, will you get this, etc., this will not make you do things. The janoon, when it starts, then you lose time, you lose everything, and all the pinpricks vanish. Reduce social media activity and chatting. We have become like animals, we only react. Reduction in greed leads to less psychological loss. This is the most important thing. All of us develop memories. Memories, ultimately, powerful memories convert into psychological knots. And I can give you a whole lecture because I work on these, the brain research and etc. I can give you a lecture on how these things start affecting your future course of action. Because these strong psychological knots, we start from, by the way, when you are a child, the fear and etc., they have a tremendous impact on what you as a human being will become later on. And so these psychological knots have to be removed or at least reduced. Then you can function in a much better way. Insecurity and greed leads to number games. Who has bigger checks? I know some of the cream of the capitalists of this country. So I was asking one of the very top industrialists. He was telling me that he has bought a very big jet for himself and for his family. So I said, you go from place A to B in the smaller jet that you have. But because I have, that other capitalist has a bigger jet than mine. The question was not how he will go from A to B, it was just this number game. Bigger jets, more money, more cars, etc., etc. I know for sure, when Mr. Mallya would come in his jet, there used to be 10 or 15 cars on the tarmac, and then he would just choose, okay, I'll go in this car. Look at the obscenity, look at the greed, look at the total futility of life, and look at where Mr. Mallya is. Probably he is still enjoying life in England, but that is how obscene we have become. I'll give you a very simple example. When I was in the United States in 1970s, so Jimmy Carter was the president. I had a great honor of meeting him and shaking hands with him. But he was defeated in 1980, and during his time, the Camp David Accord was signed between Menachem Begin, who was the Israeli Prime Minister, and Anwar Sadat, the Egyptian president, because there was a big fight going on between Israel and Egypt. And Carter was interviewed on this very famous call, Bill Moyers journal. Bill Moyers was a very famous journalist. He interviewed him and he asked, how did this accord was signed? So Carter gave a very interesting example. He says, all the army and the people from the Israel and the people from Egypt, they were fighting. This is the square kilometers that we are going to lose. This is the amount of army that we are going to lose, money, all sort of things. All number game. He says, we knew that the accord will never not be signed. So the last day, he invited both Menachem Begin and Anwar Sadat alone into this very nice cabin that the presidents have. And after dinner, sitting in the fire side,
Carter said that I started talking about my grandchildren, and after some time Sadat also started talking about his grandchildren, and then Menachem Begin also talked about his grandchildren, and then Carter told them that, don't you think we should leave a better world for our grandchildren?
And the next day the accord was signed. When we lose the humanness, when we lose the value of empathy, then it all becomes a number game. So this greed and this havas is all for the number game. And when you remove the number game, and then you ask yourself a question very honestly, whether I need this, what am I doing, then the things become much better. The clarity comes and a lot of good things happen. And that is the start of your honesty and your ethical process. Greed sometimes unleashes forces over which we have no control. Hitler and modern demagogues. Putin, somebody should really ask Putin, why the hell is he doing all this nonsense? Tremendous desire, the greed. Gorbachev lost everything. I want to take back all the countries which have gone out of Soviet Union. So this is the greed. And it is creating havoc. The whole world has changed because of the wheat, the oil, so many things. Read about these things, the historical effect of all these wars, and you realize how everything is interconnected and how we can create havoc by small events done by demagogues and people who have tremendous amount of greed. Then there's a very famous, how many of you read Panchtantra? Obviously you have not read. Panchtantra, to my mind, is the greatest, one of the greatest books ever written for mankind. Read it. Please read, there are 5 volumes. Please read it. It's amazing how it is still so valid today. So in Panchtantra, there's a very nice story that there were two sections of frogs living in a well, and they wanted the resources. And actually one section was intelligent. He went outside the well, he befriended a cobra and brought him inside the well and told him this section should be taken care of. Actually the cobra started eating the frogs. After those section was finished, he said, I am hungry. So he started eating his section frogs, and ultimately he ate the king also. This is exactly what happens today. There are forces, there are people, politicians who unleash these negative forces. They are like cobras, not knowing that it will ultimately eat themselves. And this is the biggest tragedy that we need to avoid. And that can be avoided by being less greedy and by focusing internally what is good for the common good. I'll just give you a few examples. When I was leaving University of Florida, normally when you leave your job, you just give a resignation and then you say bye-bye. When I was leaving, I was a professor. When I was leaving, I said, I should have a replacement. So I made my own advertisement, interviewed the replacement, and found out a good replacement, and then I said, here is your man. It was not necessary for me to do it, but I thought that this is the only right thing to do it, because I was too invested in the program. The program that I was running was one of the largest programs in the world at that time, of training the scientists and engineers from developing countries in renewable energy. And I thought that this was such a unique program, I was the creator of that program, that I said it should continue. And the continuation could have come only when we had a proper person. So a lot of these things have happened because you think about the greater good. And when you think about the greater good, then that's where the greed is reduced. Another example I'll give you, we had a very big flat in Lucknow. My father, we stayed in Lucknow. I was born and raised in Lucknow. And this flat was the typical rental flat. And after my father's death, I decided to give it back to the owner. The owner could not believe, because at the time that flat was right in the center in Mahatma Gandhi Road. And that owner felt that here is an absolute idiot, because by the laws of tenancy, the ownership comes to me. And I just wanted the flat to be given. And he said 50 lakhs, somebody told me that 50 lakhs was the going rate for that. But I felt it was so wrong. We lived in that flat for 46 years. We paid 100 rupees per month, that was the rent control act. And the right thing to do is to give it back. At the time, my institute needed that money, because we are building a center for sustainability. And a lot of people said what a fool I was. But I think these are the times when you are really tested. It was so easy for me to have taken that money. But I said, no, this is not the correct thing. So that can only come when you look internally, when you feel that, yes, your roots are very strong and you don't require this. You can sleep better by being honest and by being ethical. Then there is Japanese workers' example. Japanese workers wanted more money, as all the workers want. So in India, what they do, you'll have strikes, you'll have tamasha, this, that, etc. Japanese workers worked 3 hours extra every day. And they showed to the management by doing extra work, by doing their work honestly, the company went up to the roof in terms of more production, etc. And the company management immediately found out that this was the wrong thing for them to do, is not giving them money, and they gave them very big bonus. That is a positive thing. That is exactly what Gandhiji did. Gandhiji never fought just like for the sake of fighting, like a lot of people do. Gandhiji first of all found out what is wrong in the system. And that could only happen because he was honest and he was ethical. After he found out that what was wrong in the system, then he wrote to the government that you can change it. And there was a lot of, if you read Gandhiji's letters and the discussion, it is unbelievable how much he bent backwards in trying to accommodate somebody else's point of view. And when then did not happen, then he went on this fast and movement and etc. So that is the hallmark of a much higher level of thinking as compared to the negative things that happen. In a corrupt society like India, it is sometimes difficult to live ethically. All of us know. Laws are basically fine. They are never bad. Because you should read the laws and you find out that they were made with good intentions. What is bad is how they are implemented. Because we have this tremendous ability, our mind is always working on how to break that law. We are a very unique human beings. I do not know why our auditors will tell you, so many others will tell you, oh, you can break this law, you can do this, you can do that. Nobody will tell you why you cannot do things honestly. And if you do the things honestly, sure, there are certain laws which need to be changed, and they can be changed. Because people are considerate, and if you bring things properly, it has happened many times. I was a member of so many high-powered committees. When things were brought to the notice, things did change. Not in a great way, but it at least it changed because they saw, okay, yes, this was much more useful as compared to what is happening. So do your work ethically and diligently, and new paths will become visible. And when new paths become visible, then you can realize what can be done and what needs to be changed. But the parameter for our decision should be guided by the idea that the outcome should be for greater good. That's the bottom line. So this is the bottom line, not the bottom line of the creating more and more money. So what all of us can do? Ethics should be a part of every course from the school onwards. It should not be one course, etc. Every course should have this ethics. And this, if you teach this in a dry manner, then nobody will be interested. You have to always give examples. Examples of living or people who are dead. And these examples are very powerful. And then people start thinking, yes, under such circumstances, this could be possible. Under such circumstances, this can be done. Examples of ethical behavior should be taught and stressed continuously. Gandhiji said that the change should start from us. So we are not interested in teaching any of you ethical. It should start from us. And if each one of us become ethical, the country will become great. We all make this country into a very nice, good country. Each one of us should try to do our job ethically. Doing it will also show how to do it efficiently. Because when you do work ethically, then you can see what are the things in the job which require to be changed, and that increases efficiency. By doing our jobs properly and ethically, the country will progress and will become great. In fact, when I ask students why do they want to go abroad, most of them say they want to go abroad because the quality of education, the quality of this, that, etc. is great there. Why can't we make it here? In fact, all the major companies are run by Indians. Half the Silicon Valley is owned by my classmates. And I always go and talk to them, what makes you not come back to India and do it? No, no, we don't have this, we don't have that. But that is a cop-out. That is a sign of a coward. We should run and make this country great and very nice so that we would like to stay here. And you know, the interesting part is all the people who are abroad, they all come back because their family is here, their attachment. You see, since you have not been abroad, I can tell you, ancient societies, they have so much power on your brain that you cannot remove that society from your brain and your system. You will always remain Indian. You cannot change the color of your skin. And when you are in America, even the most advanced and the most country which accepts the foreigners, but you scratch the bottom and they all born whites. And so this is what is always will trouble you. You may be anybody. Even when Pichai and others, they come to the Senate, they have Senate hearings, you can see the difference. How the senators behave with them, and how the senators will behave with the white men like a Thomas Cook, Mr. Cook of Apple. This is what happens. So why not make this country great, so all of us can make this, live here nicely, our families are here. And if some of you believe in reincarnation, you'll be born again and again here. So let us make this into a very great country. It should be based on emotional satisfaction and happiness. It will help reduce greed and insecurity. And the paradigm of development should be based upon spirituality plus technology is equal to happiness. This is the title of my latest book. And I believe that we have given the world a great thought from time to time, and this is another new paradigm of development for the world, how with technology and the ancient spirituality, we can create a sustainable and a happy world. This process will help you become and ethical human being. Thank you very much. I'm very happy to take questions because questions and answers are the best way to interact. Yes, Mike.
Hello, a very good morning, sir. And sir, thank you so much for such powerful insight on ethical living. Sir, when you talked about the spirituality part, I was very touched because during my bachelor's degree program, I was introduced to the spirituality in college. So since then, I have been practicing spirituality since last 14 years. Few things that which I learned while practicing spirituality, I would like you to throw some light on that so that it will motivate us. So one thing is, in the spirituality, what I learned is we should take little responsibilities of everything, starting with us. And second thing is, in the spirituality, our life is more about giving than rather than taking.
Yes, sir. Spirituality is a very vast subject. This is a give and take, small questions. In everything, if you give more than you take, is always good. And that can only come when you are secure internally. And internal security only comes when you are spiritual. Because security comes from that. That is a part of that growing process. So questions should be very sharp and to the point. We can always discuss because spirituality is a very huge subject. Yes. And I don't think anybody knows about it fully. Because if you really become a spiritual person, then you will not be in this body. It's okay.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, the lady there. And we can discuss this later. And my email is here. You can most welcome to write, and I'll reply. Thank you. Okay.
Hello, sir.
Yeah.
So my question is, how and where do we draw the line between greed and aspiration?
That's a very good question. You see, as I said, when you do things for the greater good, because without aspirations, you will not do anything. Regretted. Aspirations is necessary. Greed also to a certain extent is necessary because it gives you a driving force. But then the thing is for what? I have a tremendous greed for knowledge. If you come and work for me, I'll push you very hard to get more knowledge. To give me what you have learned. That is also greed. That greed is helping both you and me at the same time. If you have the greed only for money, that will only help one of us. So this is something which you have to look internally yourself. What is important and what is not important. And that aspiration will tell, your aspirations will tell you where is the line. Everybody has their own mechanism. For example, I ask a lot of the students, what gives you happiness? Some talk about name, fame, money, so many things. So everybody has their own thing, but if you look very deeply inside, then you start realizing what is important, what is not important.
Okay.
Yes. Don't we have a couple of more mics?
Hello sir, my name is Sharwari. A very good morning. I have a question that in this running world, so many times we become insecure about ourselves because of so many things are happening. So how to be confident, how to be ourselves?
It's a very tough question. I can again give you my own You see, after all, in my I went to some of the best, in fact, the best missionary school in Lucknow. In my batch, the highest number of students came into IIT JEE, 9 of them. They all were really interested in doing something in their life. Right from beginning, I was introduced to, through because of my father, the great Indian traditions, intellectual thing. And I just got too much involved in that. When you get too much involved in that, then that gives you a lot of confidence that you are on the right path. Just, there is no explanation for that. And that confidence then starts reflecting in so many things that you do. And that's the only thing I can think. When you start looking at what others will say, that is where the problem of insecurity comes. So you have to become a very thick-skinned person. When I came back from the United States, almost everybody told me that I am doing a harakari. I didn't listen to anybody. If I had listened to anybody, I would have been back in the United States. So that is, if I can say, I don't have the answer, but that is the only way in which your confidence can become. That you follow your inner voice. And that can only happen when you go in internally. Okay? Yeah.
Good morning, sir. Myself, Suraj. Sir, my question is, as you said that being an ethical citizen or practicing ethical thing in our day-to-day life, but while we are practicing that thing and we don't get the required payback or appreciation from the society, how could I motivate myself to be ethical?
That itself is a very insecurity. You're all the time looking at the payback. You're all the time looking at what society will give you back. This means that you're not sure of yourself. You're not sure of what you're doing is correct. Because if you are sure that what you're doing is correct based upon ethics and honesty, you'll not care what anything else. Because things happen.
Sir, it is better to say that karam karte jao phal ki chinta mat karo, but at the end, everyone needs that push.
वो जरूरत ही नहीं है तुम्हें इतनी सिक्योरिटी होनी चाहिए जैसे मैंने बताया ना कि व्हेन आई केम बैक फ्रॉम अमेरिका एवरीबॉडी फेल्ट दैट व्हाट एन इडियट आई वाज होल कंट्री वाज गोइंग टू अमेरिका 1980s एंड आई वाज द ओनली वन हु केम बैक एंड दैट टू आल्सो इन रूरल इंडिया आई डिड बिकॉज दिस वाज माय इनर कॉन्शियसनेस दिस वाज माय इनर वॉइस आई वांट टू डू समथिंग And if I had listened, because I was expecting what the society will help me or not, then I would not have done that. So think about that. Think seriously and honestly, and then you will get a lot of your answers.
Thank you.
Okay.
Good morning, sir. Good morning. My name is Jevin Roy. Nice hearing from you, sir. Sir, I had actually heard one of your, just now you said, Perrin Lowry's example. So similarly, we are more or less going to be exposed to some of the marketing sooner or later. So we are going to be involved in something, we are sure that is not actually going to happen. For example, we are going to, Bonvita, we sure know that isn't so much healthy as they say, but then we are going to advertise it as if it is very healthy. So where do you think there is a line of differentiation that we should make? How ethical or how value we should be giving?
See, this is a very important question because you cannot stop these advertisements. You cannot stop this onslaught. This is an ongoing process. You, when you become somebody in an organization, and if you have developed this ethical behavior, then you can stop it. You can reduce it. After all of you will join the corporates. Corporate is not something in air. Corporate is made of people like you. So if each one of you starts from this ethical behavior, when you reach a certain position where you can make decision, you will make the decision. This is not the right. We should do things which is right, which is good for the greater good, no matter how important it is for the company. This can happen.
just avoid.
Right.
No, no, avoiding is not, it is a long process, but slowly, slowly it can change. It was not like that before, even in America. In America, they were very ethical about certain things, you know, what should be put out, etc. But slowly, slowly, things have eroded. And that is something that has to be asked by, and I think the only answer is that if each one of us start thinking about these things, then the society will change. You cannot simply expect somebody else to do it.
Yeah, because as we know, if I take 1 foot back, then there are 100
markets. See, again, that is an insecurity.
No, I
could have said the same thing about myself. If I am doing this, becoming an Ahuti by going back to India, there will be 20 people who are standing in line. That's not the thing.
Yeah, but to a certain extent, if I am being as a company and my employee is not putting his 100% effort, then I am going to look at him in a negative eyes, and because...
Think a little more deeply into it.
Yeah, sure. Thanks.
I'll give you another example. I was a member of a very high-powered planning commission committee. This was in 1987. And this was the committee which was supposed to make the national plan for biomass power in India. And in 1987, the plan, total plan was 2,500 crores. 2,500 crores was a lot of money in 1987. And I felt that there was a lot of data which was missing, because we were making a plan based upon very little data. So I told the chairman of the committee, I said, listen, we should have few studies in the actual hinterland to find out what the data is, and then we can extrapolate. Extrapolation itself was very bad, but at least we can do that. And the committee chairman got very mad, you know, we have very limited time, we have to make this plan. So I was very brash and I told him, then why did you fly me from Fulton? You could have sat in your office and increased the plan by 15%, that would be all right. So then she got even more mad. She says, you don't know there are 20,000 people in line standing for getting in this committee. This is a very high prestigious. So I say, please call them. I'm not interested. You have to have that guts. If you start thinking about, you know, what will happen this, you see, people, when they think more than they are supposed to think, that is where the problem lies. I'll give you another example. This is also from Panchatantra. A jackal and a cat, they met in the middle of the jungle. And the jackal, naturally, a fox, CR, whatever it is, is very supposed to be very intelligent. So he asked the cat, what will we do if the tiger comes? So cat said, I know only one answer, I'll climb the tree. So the cat asked, what will you do? So the jackal, being smart, he said, I know this, I know that, I know the 100. A tiger came. The cat simply went up. The jackal kept on thinking. So what happened? So, do you understand? Think. Okay. Yes.
My name is Shruti. I am from Core Sustainable Energy Management. I want to ask, what are the opportunities for us, like to work in NARI or?
Oh, that is a wonderful question. In fact, I was about to come, and your dean has already said we would love to have 4 or 5 interns. Use that internship to also do your project, and when you come to rural Maharashtra, there's so many things which you can work on. And then it will make you a better human being, also look at the actual things. And what? Most welcome.
Hello sir, I am Spurs Chaudhary, an ACM. As you said that to make our country better, we should start working on it ourselves. But in the field, there are many practices that we know are wrong. But to progress in our work, we know that we have to do it, otherwise the work won't progress. So how should we?
No, I don't think so. If you are really working in any organization, you do your work honestly and what has been assigned to you. When you do that, when you do not do that, because there will be so many other pressures, etc., that is where the problem starts. When you, I'm sure that there are a lot of pressures, peers will come and say, why the hell are you working? That happens in any organization.
But you just put your head down, work what has been assigned, and you yourself will find if supposing something is not right, that will tell you after you have done the work honestly. If you have not done the work honestly because others have told you, you will never know. And so you will all fall in the same game of, you know, this is bad, that is bad. That is what happens.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. Thank you very much.